nicknames abound, and do you have a nickname you can share? Maybe you don't. Sometimes we get the nicknames at work, you know. And I'm sure Mike knows about these in the coal mine. Some of these nicknames you just you can't repeat for various reasons. You get them at work, or maybe when you're playing on a ball team. But anyway, we're going to talk about someone who received a nickname or a second name by the apostles themselves. And we're going to be in Acts chapter 4. And maybe you noted we started putting the scriptures in the bulletins at Anola's request. Actually, it was a request of her friend. So if you got your bulletin or brought your bulletin, you can see those. We're going to be mostly in the book of Acts this morning, Acts chapter 4. This man's given name was Joseph. And I would guess that hardly any of us knows him by the name Joseph. Barnabas. He was given that name by the apostles. Let's start in Acts 4:32. This is just, you know, as the infant church is beginning and the apostles are starting to proclaim the gospel, and they've already been in trouble with the Jewish leaders and been in jail at one point already. But verse 32, and the congregation of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and not one of them claimed that anything belonged to him was his own, but all things were common property to him. With great power, the apostles were giving testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and abundant grace was upon them all. For there was not a needy person among them, for all who were owners of land or houses would sell them and bring the proceeds of the sales and lay them at the apostles' feet, and they would be distributed to each as any had need. Now let's kind of just stop right there. You know, that kind of the setting here as this infant church begins and people are coming to Christ and they're beginning to accept his teaching and understand that he is about love and giving and caring for one another. And so they're taking care of their own. It says, you know, those who believe, this is where it begins. And when I was reading that, I was reminded of this phrase that many of you will remember, some of you not. Do you really believe that what you believe is really real? Remember that? Do you really believe it? If you really believe that what you believe is real, it's a truth, your life will change. How you conduct your life will change. Your speech will change. Your purposes in life will change. If you really believe what's written in this book, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, your life will change. And the life of these people were changing because of that. This was brought about by the gospel in Jesus Christ, why they were doing these things. Because that was his teaching. And that was his character and his nature to help and give. And that's what we're called to do as well. They were one heart and one soul in Christ. They loved their Lord. And they truly saw themselves as part of the body of Christ. We read about that in particular in 1 Corinthians 12 through 14. The body is one, and it's the body of Christ. And so we share and work together, grieve together, rejoice together, and so forth and so on. Now let's read 36 and 37. Now Joseph, a Levite of Cyprian birth from the island of Cyprus, who was also called Barnabas by the apostles, which translated means son of encouragement, and who owned a tract of land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet. I think we can misread this here. I think that Barnabas was given this nickname before he sold this land. That's what it reads to me, that he had already established himself as this kind of a person, that Jesus was already changing him into this son of encouragement. Some translations say son of exhortation, or a footnote says son of consolation. But the apostles had given him this second name. Isn't that marvelous? How would you like to be given a name by the apostles? This man is a son of encouragement. And I just, as I was reading this through and looking at this, I was thinking, let's not misunderstand this name. Do you remember the man who was released by Pilate instead of Jesus? Barabbas. Bar means son. Barabbas meant son of the father. Barnabas, okay, Bar is son. This is not Barnabas. This is Barnabas. Means son of encouragement or son of exhortation. We need a lot of encouragement and exhortation in the church. I don't think we realize how important that is. The people get down in their struggles, whether it's grief or problems or temptations, and they need people to pick them up. It's interesting, in Romans chapter 12, verse 8, as Paul's listening there, some of the gifts of the Spirit, exhortation is given as one of the gifts. Someone is given a special gift to exhort and encourage other people. So that's a good thing to keep in mind, that people need that. And we know that in our own instances and in our own situations, we have needed that, haven't we? What this means for me about Barnabas, he was a there for you guy. You ever say that? I'll be there for you. I hope if you said that, you were. But this is what kind of a person he was. He was there for anybody and everybody, especially among his brothers and sisters there in the church. Did they need comfort? He comforted them. Did he need encouragement? You know, like, you can do this. Hampton, you can lead the singing. You can do this. We need those words. You can get involved. You can teach. You can go to that person and talk to them or whatever it is. Do we need urged on? Do we need to do better? Okay? Do we need to get out of the pit? Anybody ever been in the pit? And someone helped you get out of the pit? You need someone to stand up for you? Later on, we're going to see that with Barnabas. To hold your hand, to keep you from quitting, to give you a hug, to pray for you, to pray with you. Barnabas was not a man to stand around and watch somebody go down. And how many times have you and I said, oh, look at so-and-so, brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, they're really having a hard time. And we didn't do one thing about it. Barnabas would not do that. He would go to them, encourage them, build them up, see what they needed. He was among the people. And he's setting this example for us, and he was doing this not because he was just Barnabas, but because he was a servant of Jesus Christ, and he was being changed into the image of Jesus. Because that's, in fact, what Jesus did, wasn't it? When he came here. You know, beside the fact he was a propitiation for our sin, which we just celebrated, he encouraged us, didn't he? He came to show us the way, to give us life, to give us hope, to pick us up, to say, I'm here to forgive you. You can be forgiven. You can move on. Yeah, that was one of the main reasons we love Jesus. He gives us hope and encouragement, even in the darkest times. So Barnabas is just walking in the footsteps of Jesus. All right, let's flip over a few pages to Acts chapter 9. That kind of sets a stage for us there, understanding about Barnabas. Now, I'll set this up for you here. This is right after Saul was converted. Remember, on the road to Damascus, Jesus appeared to him. He had been persecuting the church, putting Christians in prison. He was okay with the stoning of Stephen and so forth, and Jesus appeared and says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he's converted and he begins to preach the gospel. Well, you can only imagine that the Christians would have a real question about, is this guy for real? You know, just all of a sudden, bang, he's changed. Wait a minute. No, I don't know about that. So let's pick it up in Acts 9:26. When he came to Jerusalem, meaning Saul, he was trying to associate with the disciples. But they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was a disciple. And you can understand that. It's like he's trying to get in here and take names, and then he's going to come back and haul us all off to prison. We can't believe that he's been changed like that. And what happens? Verse 27, but Barnabas took hold of him. I like that. He took hold of him and brought him to the apostles. Okay? I don't know. Maybe Saul was having some questions. Like, are they really going to accept me? Did this really happen? You know, was this a vision? You know, it all happened so fast for him. But anyway, it says Barnabas comes, says, hey, okay, I'll help you out here. I'll take care of this. And he took hold of him and he brought him to the apostles and described to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and that he had talked to him and how at Damascus he had spoken out boldly in the name of Jesus. So evidently, Saul had shared with Barnabas what happened to him on the road. And so Barnabas stands up here for Saul with the apostles and the rest of the disciples and says, hey, this guy's legit. He did encounter the Lord. The Lord did come down. This is what happened to him. And he's changed. He was baptized into Christ. He's a new man. He's been preaching the gospel. You got to accept him. Barnabas was willing to stick his neck out for this guy to encourage Saul and also the church and the apostles to accept him and say, he's for real. He's now one of yours. Verse 28, and he was with them, moving about freely in Jerusalem, speaking out boldly in the name of the Lord. And he was talking and arguing with the Hellenistic Jews. This is now Saul. And they were attempting to put him to death. But when the brethren learned of it, they brought him down to Caesarea and sent him away to Tarsus. Of course, Saul had been commissioned as an apostle to the Gentiles, hadn't he? That hadn't really all started, but here we see him talking with the Hellenists or the Greeks, and this isn't going very well, so the disciples say, Saul, you just better go back home for a while, and that's where his home was, in Tarsus. So, whatever fears that Barnabas might have had that Saul wasn't legit as far as being a Christian, he overcame them. He got the story. He says, you're for real. He brought him to the apostles and stood up for him that he might be accepted as one of the body of Christ. You know anybody in your life that's on the outside looking in? That's not being accepted by the family or the church or some group? Are you willing to stand up for them? Do you know the whole story? Did anybody ever stand up for you? Were you in a situation that, man, I wish somebody would help me out here? They're just not believing that I can do this or that I'm the person that I say I am. Son of encouragement, that's what he was. And he did it. And so you and I need to take his example to heart as he walked in the steps of Jesus and do the same. All right, let's move on over to chapter 11 and 19. Barnabas was not one to just take the glory He knew when he needed help. Acts 11:19. So then those who were scattered because of the persecution, that is, of the church, that occurred in connection with Stephen, made their way to Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except to Jews alone. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene. I found that interesting because Barnabas was from Cyprus. So maybe the Cypriots have this desire to help people or to be bold, maybe. I don't know. And they came to Antioch and began speaking to the Greeks also, preaching the Lord Jesus. Okay? Antioch was the third largest city in the Roman Empire at the time. I don't know if any of you know this. It's Antioch of Syria. So these people, Christians, have come to Antioch and began to speaking to the Greeks, read that, Gentiles, preaching Jesus. And this is after the whole incident in chapter 10 where Peter had gone to Cornelius, the Gentile. 21, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a large number believed, turned to the Lord. Now, as I was reading that, I was thinking, wow, it's interesting and it's so important that we read carefully in Scripture. Did you catch that? A large number who believed turned to the Lord. You see, it's possible to believe and not turn to the Lord. We see that throughout Scripture. Talked about many who believed in Jesus but would not confess him. Remember that in the Gospels? But it says here, many who believed, they did turn. You know, the turn idea is the idea of repentance. They turned to the Lord. The news about them reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and wow, and they sent Barnabas off to Antioch. Good man. He's willing. He's available. We'll send Barnabas down there to see how things are, to help them out. And he's willing to go, obviously. 23, then when he arrived and witnessed the grace of God, he rejoiced and began to encourage them all with a resolute heart to remain true to the Lord. Now, there's another one. Read it carefully. To remain true to the Lord. You know, there's still people out there who teach once saved, always saved. You can't fall from grace. If that's true, why does Barnabas say this? Remain true to the Lord. Evidently, there's a possibility you can not remain true to the Lord and fall away. Anyway, that was part of his exhortation, right? His encouragement. Remain true to the Lord. Be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. You read the words of exhortation throughout, especially the New Testament. That's what they are, words of encouragement. Verse 24, now look, this is a little more insight into Barnabas. I love this guy. I can't wait to meet Barnabas, you know. For he was a good man. Wow. That just says a lot right there, you know. He was a good man. You ever run into somebody that just, they're a good person. They do good things. They say good things. They never do, you never hear them say a rotten word about anybody. If something bad happens, they're you know, they take it and they keep going. They're always helping people. It's just a good person. That's what Barnabas, he's a good man. And full of the Holy Spirit and faith. And that's where his goodness really came from. He was walking in the steps of Jesus. He was filled with the Spirit. He was under the influence of the Spirit and following the Word of God, and he was letting it permeate his life. The man who trusted Jesus, that's a person of faith. I trust him. No matter what I'm doing, he's going to be with me. And considerable numbers were brought to the Lord. So this whole event here, I don't know if you can't call it a revival, but it's a, you know, this came in here with the gospel, and these people, the Greeks, are responding. And there's large numbers, considerable numbers, and Barnabas is down there, and he's been sent by the church, but he's realizing, I need help. And he's not just going to try to do it on his own. So look at the next verse, 25. And he left for Tarsus to look for Saul. Remember they had sent Saul back to Tarsus, said, you better leave right now because somebody wants to kill you. So he's thinking, he said, I don't know if the Lord told him to do this or he's putting together two and two and says, hey, wait a minute. Saul was to be an apostle to the Gentiles, and these are Gentiles. Let's go get Saul. And so he leaves, and he goes on up the coast there to Saul's home in Tarsus to get him. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. Evidently, he had to search around a little bit. I don't know where he was, but Barnabas was diligent in his search here. He goes to Tarsus, he searches for Saul, and he finds him. He says, hey, Saul, we need you in Antioch. The Gentiles are believing in Christ. And for an entire year, they met with the church and taught considerable numbers, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. That's interesting, aren't they? In this church that was not 100% Gentile. There were Jews there, but primarily a Gentile church. That's where first God gave his disciples, the disciples of his son, the name Christian, the name that we wear today. So, this tells us a little bit more about Barnabas. He says, hey, I can't do this on my own. I need help. This is a baby. This is a baby for Saul. And I'll go get him and we can work together. All right. Let's go over to Acts 13. Barnabas was willing to do what the Lord knew he could do. Acts 13:1. Now the word Antioch, all right, in this church, this primarily Gentile church that was there, prophets and teachers. Notice the first name, Barnabas. He was a prophet and a teacher. He just let the Lord use him. That's the main thing we say about this man. He was totally changed. He just let the Lord use him however the Lord wanted to use him, using all his gifts and all his talents. And Simeon, who was called Niger, and Lucius of Cyrene, and Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. While they were ministering to the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me, and this is the beginning, this is what we call the first missionary journey, and we always put it under the heading of Paul's three missionary journeys. But notice whose name's here first. Set apart for me for the work to which I have called them, Barnabas and Saul. I think that's interesting. I don't know if he was supposed to be the lead man on this first trip or not. Maybe so. He had already proved himself. Saul was, he had done some preaching, but Barnabas was a mainstay right now in the church, and Saul was just kind of getting started. Barnabas is an important figure here in the early days of the church. I don't think we realize that. We always tend to just start focusing upon what Paul did. And Paul was a great, great Christian and a great missionary, but Barnabas was very instrumental in the early days here of the beginnings of the church. Verse 3, then when they had fasted and prayed, laid their hands on them, they sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, that's interesting, They went down to Seleucia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they reached Salamis, they began to proclaim the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they also had John as their helper. So Barnabas was willing to do this. He had grown and matured in the Lord. He was a prophet and a teacher, and he's going to go on this missionary journey. And it's interesting that they went to Cyprus, his hometown, or his home country. And it's interesting, and I think, again, shows his character, that he was not ashamed to go back to his home and proclaim the gospel and say what he had learned and how he had changed. You know, some of us are a little bit reluctant to talk to the people that we know in our family and our neighborhood about our being Christian. We'll talk to a stranger, but when it comes to talking to somebody that has known us all their life, we might tend to be a little reluctant to think, well, you mean you've changed? You're different? You're not the same person? But Barnabas obviously didn't bother him. He was not ashamed of the gospel or what Jesus had done with him and how Jesus had changed him. He's going to go back to his home and proclaim the gospel there on the island of Cyprus. So that's another little bit of an insight into Barnabas, that he was willing to do what God wanted him to do. Sometimes we're reluctant, aren't we? We know in our heart and our conscience that God wants us to do something, and we resist. We put it off until it kind of disappears. We're afraid, whatever. Not Barnabas. He was willing, he was ready, he wanted to help, and he did so. So he's teaching us all kinds of things here as being a son of encouragement. By his life, he's encouraging us, isn't he? By his life, he's encouraging you. We can encourage people by words, and we can encourage people by deeds. We look at somebody and say, wow, look what they did. Look how much time they spent on that. Look at how they're sacrificing to do that. Look what the good they're doing. And that's an encouragement for us, should be, to step out and do the same kinds of things. Okay, Acts 15. If you notice there, it said that on that first journey, John, who was John Mark, went with them. Barnabas was willing to give somebody a second chance. Acts 15 and 36. After some days, they'd finished this journey, they'd come back. Paul said to Barnabas, let us return and visit the brethren in every city in which we proclaim the word of the Lord and see how they are. Okay, so they're going to basically go back to the cities where they had just gone and see how are they doing in Christ. How are they coming along in their faith and their growth? Barnabas wanted to take John, called Mark, along with him also. But Paul kept insisting that they should not take him along, who had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not gone with them to the work. And if you read about that first journey, and most of you know this, John Mark turned around and went back. He didn't finish the journey with them. We're never told exactly why he did that, but he turned and went back. And so Barnabas said, well, let's take John. And Paul says, no. He turned around and went back. 39. And there occurred such a sharp disagreement that they separated from one another. And Barnabas took Mark with him and sailed away to Cyprus. But Paul chose Silas and left, being committed by the brethren to the grace of God. So, what do we see here? Paul was concerned about the trip and the mission, okay? And that's good. And we're not saying either one of them was right. You know, or wrong. In fact, in a sense, they were both right. But Paul was concerned about this trip. We want this trip to go well. We want it to be a success. We don't want to have any problems again. So let's not take John. He didn't prove himself out. So he was concerned about the success of the mission. Barnabas, the son of encouragement, was concerned about the success of John Mark. John Mark, you know, you kind of read between the lines here. Was he feeling guilty? Was he feeling like nobody wants to use me anymore because I failed one time or whatever it was, I turned back? And so Barnabas sees that and he says, now wait a minute, we don't want this young man to get so disappointed and frustrated that he's going to quit. He might even lose his faith. So Barnabas has John Mark's best interest in mind here by standing by him. And notice, he really stands by him because they got the, as it says, sharp disagreement. And they separate and they go their different ways on this journey. They each take a separate journey. Again, no right, no wrong, but just notice the focus of the two brothers in what they each were concerned about. Barnabas held his ground. If you want to turn over with me to 2 Timothy 4, you'll find out it was a good thing. And again, we're not saying that Barnabas was right and Paul was wrong at that point, but Barnabas was able to encourage John Mark from that point on, I guess, at least at that point. 2 Timothy 4:11, Paul's in prison here. This is considered the last letter that he wrote before he was put to death. And he's, you know, as he writes at the end of a lot of his letters, he puts some details about personal things. And verse 11 says, only Luke is with me. Now notice, pick up Mark and bring him with you, for he is useful to me for service. Wow. So somewhere along the line, later on, Paul and John Mark got together and Paul accepted him. Okay, you're a good man. And now he says, he's useful to me for service. He's a good guy. So Barnabas standing by John Mark at that point was a good thing. He encouraged him. He said, you come with me and it'll be all right. And John Mark hung in there. Like I said, we don't have the details, but that was a marvelous thing. All right, we're going to end up in Galatians chapter 2. But you didn't think we was going to go there. All right, we're going there because we want to see, you know, we're talking about Barnabas walking in the footsteps of Jesus. We don't want to start to think that he was some kind of a super saint, okay? Above us. And again, this tells us that the Word of God is indeed the Word of God because it tells us all the truth, okay? Not everything we want to know, but it gives us all the sides. And it shows that even the heroes have feet of clay, as we say, are sinners. You know, like we read about David and Abraham. They were not perfect. Neither was Barnabas. Galatians 2:11. But when Cephas, Peter, came to Antioch, I opposed him to his face because he stood condemned. This is Paul writing this letter. So at some point in time, Peter, who was primarily based in Jerusalem early on, comes down to this Antioch Gentile church, primarily Gentile church, okay, where these Gentiles are being accepted into the body of Christ. For prior to the coming of certain men from James, now James was one of the the main leaders in the church at Jerusalem, which was primarily a Jewish-based congregation of Jewish member, a Jewish background, okay? And they had an element there, and if you remember reading in Acts, that were kept trying to insist that the Gentiles who came to Christ had to obey the law of Moses and be the men had to be circumcised and all. And of course, they had gone through their big conference and says, no, no, that's not a requirement. But some of them continued to insist this, and this is what's going on here. Certain men from James, he used to eat with the Gentiles, okay? In other words, he would associate with them, he would fellowship with them, they would have their potluck dinner, and Peter would eat with the Gentile Christians, and no problem. Of course, Peter's a Jew. But when they came, he began to withdraw and hold himself aloof, fearing the party of the circumcision, you see. He says, wait a minute now, these are my brothers, these are my Jewish brothers, and they don't think I should be associating with the Gentile Christians over here, so I think I'll go with my Jewish brothers. That's why Paul rebukes him to his face, so that's wrong. You don't do that. The church is not divided. We're all one in Christ. But verse 13, the rest of the Jews joined him in hypocrisy, you see. Just this one man, of course, Peter's a big guy here. As he says, he's a big hitter. And they followed his influence. And said, well, we better go with Peter. With the result that even Barnabas was carried away by their hypocrisy. Wow. Barnabas was not perfect. Now, I'm sure, well, even Peter later, you know, they all understood that that's not right, and we don't do that, and it's wrong, and the Gentiles are and Jews are one in Christ, and that barrier's been broken down. But here, in this particular situation, the pressure was so great, for whatever reason, they divided, and Barnabas fell in and made the wrong choice. All of us can err and sin. And we don't want to forget that ever. We're all weak through the flesh. And we got to continue to go to the Lord and ask for strength and help and guidance to resist evil, to see our sins clearly so that we can repent and change and let Him change us. So, we just put that in there for us to understand that about Barnabas. He was just like us. Yeah, wonderful man, full of the Holy Spirit, let the Lord change him and use him. But yes, he fell that time. He made the wrong decision. So, let's just be a Barnabas. Let the Lord use you, your abilities, your heart, your character, your zeal for His name, your love for Him and for others, that you can be a blessing to other people. To be a son of encouragement, or if you will, a daughter of encouragement. To be aware of what's going on in people's lives. You know, we have the announcements all the time. We have notes in the bulletin. Be aware. And when you see and know of people that need help, be that son or daughter of encouragement to lift them up in whatever help they need. God bless you.